He raped me. I was asking for it, though. No, I really was. Literally. I had been trying to find a way to bring it up elegantly for weeks. But one evening, during one of our favorite shows, I just kind of blurted it out. I told him I wanted him to roleplay raping me sometime. I had prepared all kinds of facts and such to make it sound a little less horrible. Like how it isn't that uncommon of a fantasy among women. But he simply smiled and said yes. No convincing needed. What he said next surprised me, though. Evidently, he had put some thought into it on his own beforehand. He said that he would do it, but only at a time of his own choosing and not necessarily at home. He explained that asking for it and getting it while you are expecting something is akin to just very rough sex. In bed, he is typically pretty vigorous, but never very rough. Maybe some light hair pulling or hand on my throat in a dominance position, but never anything I'd call rough. So the idea of very rough sex was exciting all on its own. But he was stressing the mental part of the experience here. He told me that sometime in the next month or so, he was going to attack and rape me. We did come up with a safe word to give me an out in case it proved to be too intense. But he wanted me to feel that there was real consequence in using it. So he said that if I used it, we would never do this again. I would have proven that I can't handle it. And this gave me great incentive to see it through. But the comfort of knowing that if the reality of it didn't live up to the fantasy, I had a safe way to stop it. Still, I was incredibly excited. I felt like I had just handed someone a blank check to do whatever the hell they wanted with me, and I had no say in the matter. This loss of control, the thought of my own powerlessness in this situation, just had my mind running in circles. I could hardly wait. Part of me wanted him to attack me as soon as I turned the corner, but the other part of me wanted to let the feeling build, as I knew that every day brought me closer, though it could happen at any time. He teased and tormented me over the next few weeks. For example, we would be in the same room, and he would suddenly throw down something and rush over to me. I would think, this is it, here it comes. But then he would do something silly like hand me my car keys, which I had left on the dining room table. Once he crept up to the bathroom door and then flung it open with such force that it rebounded off the doorstop. As I sat there on the toilet, expecting him to charge in and grab me, he just calmly asked if his shaving cream was in there. I had to deal with more than a dozen of these false starts. It was his way of keeping me on edge, of maintaining this anticipation. I knew one of these days it wasn't going to be a trick, and that he really was going to do it. But as time went on, things tapered off. Before I knew it, there were days when I had actually forgotten that this was supposed to happen. I fell back into my regular routine. Still, for a while, that seed was there in the back of my mind. But at some point, after a month had come and gone, and it had been more than a week since his last false attack, I had figured that he must have changed his mind, and decided to not go through with it after all. I was disappointed, but I didn't want to make a fuss over it. Half of me still felt guilty for wanting to try it in the first place, but then, one Saturday morning, fully a month and a half after my initial proposition, he attacked. I was having a bowl of my favorite cereal, and he had just poured milk into his own. He stood up and said that he had forgotten to get a spoon. I barely even heard him. I was reading the nutritional facts, which I've probably read 100 times before. He wheeled on me, grabbed my bowl, and flung it across the kitchen. It shattered into a wet catastrophe against the refrigerator. I was simply stunned. My spoonful of breakfast was frozen in my hand, poised halfway between where my bowl had been and my open mouth. I don't know how he managed not to laugh. All I could think of was, what the fuck? I still hadn't figured it out when his hands went around my throat. He lifted me up out of my chair by the base of my jaw and then slammed me hard against the wall. The back of my head thudded painfully against the plaster. It was an older house, and two decorative plates came off their mountings, crashing to the floor. One shattered, but curiously, the other did not. Mentally, I had not yet progressed much past finishing the bite of cereal. The first thing I thought of was about an argument we had the evening before about how much texting with work I do after hours. It seems pretty stupid now for me to have jumped to that conclusion to explain these actions, especially given that just before I fell asleep that night, I had been thinking about my seemingly forgotten request all that time ago. And here it was now, staring me in the face, and I still hadn't managed to put two and two together. But when the knife came out, my brain finally shifted out of first gear. He drew it with one hand while still holding me pinned with the other. Then he whipped it up to my throat. When I felt that cold steel against my neck, I pissed myself. Later, he would show me that it was so dull it would struggle to cut butter. But in my mind, it might as well have been as sharp as Excalibur. In the most venomous and hateful voice I have ever heard from him, he told me to shut the fuck up or he'd cut my fucking throat and rape my limp corpse. It wasn't until he hit that word rape that it finally dawned on me what this actually must be. In a flash that I'm sure I will be unable to describe adequately, most of my fear converted to excitement. Somewhat like walking outside on a blistering hot summer day from a cold air-conditioned room. Just that sudden and drastic change. I mean, once you're aware that it isn't real, it's hard to fool yourself anymore. But there are still a lot of unknowns, and you still have absolutely no control over what's happening or what's going to happen. But now, I was quivering with anticipation. He forced me to my knees, set the knife on the oven, and took off his belt. I figured I knew what was coming next, as he always was a big fan of blowjobs, but I was wrong. He looped the belt around my neck and then tightened it. Once he saw where it would buckle, he took it back off and punched a hole in it with the tip of the knife. He told me that this was now my fourth hole. That whenever he was feeling angry or frustrated, he would feel this hole, my new hole, on his belt. Finger it and remember the time he raped me. I can't tell you how turned on I was by the thought of this. Then he put the belt back around my neck and buckled it, using my new hole. He slipped the fingers of one hand in the loop and used it to control my head. He forced my head to the ground and harshly yanked down my pajama pants and panties with his other. He entered me suddenly and forcefully. He was already rock hard. He then started fucking me mercilessly, just pounding my cunt like a madman, inching both of us across the kitchen floor with each powerful thrust. I had never been fucked so hard before in my life, and the things he said, just dripping with hatred and threats of violence. Some of my fear was beginning to creep back. He really did seem to be losing control. I thought that I might have accidentally unleashed a monster. He started to yank hard on the belt around my neck, briefly choking me each time he pulled my head back. All this, combined with his guttural growls as he hate-fucked me, just pushed me over the edge. It was like getting fucked by a savage beast man, I imagine. With a loud moan, I came. Hard. The pleasure coursed through my entire body. He called me a dirty fucking slut for liking it, then started to lead me out of the kitchen on all fours. My muscles were still trembling. He pulled me up the stairs by my leash, and I crawled along behind. I figured that he was going to move the show into the bedroom, but nope. He was taking me into the bathroom. He dragged me in and then got behind me again. He once more looped his fingers in my makeshift collar and then flipped up the lid on the toilet. When he asked me if I was ready for a bath, and I realized what he meant by that, I about panicked. Now, just let me say that I am a huge germaphobe. I buy hand sanitizer by the crate full, and already in the back of my mind, I was cringing at having been fucked across an unmopped kitchen floor and dragged up the stairs on my hands and knees. But this was just too much. I felt the pressure on the back of my neck as he started to force my face towards the bowl. I started to fight back now. Real fear of this rising in me. He laughed. He knew that I would feel this way. He tangled his other hand in my hair and shoved harder. I had a hand on each side of the rim, straining with all of my might against him, but I felt my muscles shaking, giving out. For the first time, I said no. And then he forced my head in. I was screaming now. My voice sounded strange to me in that tiny space. This was simply awful. Me on my knees beside the toilet, head shoved in just an inch from the water. Then I felt his cock head on my asshole. Neither of us have ever been big fans of anal. Just on that rare occasion when we were feeling particularly nasty. I guess this was one of those occasions. As he plunged into my ass, I gasped, and a second later, he shoved my head under. At that angle, some of the water went into my nose. I bucked hard, trying to escape. My neck muscles were straining, but only bought me a fraction of an inch before he overpowered me, pressing my forehead against the inside of the bowl. He yanked me back up, and I took deep lungfuls of air, even though I had only been under for a few seconds. It felt like minutes in my head, my face dripping wet with toilet paper. I told him to stop, that I'd had enough, but I didn't use the safe word. He didn't stop. Again, my head went in. But now, it hit the bowl with every thrust. This went on for a few minutes. Him fucking my ass while he held my head in the toilet bowl. Usually, but not always, with my face underwater. When I was able, I begged and pleaded with him to stop. But I didn't use that magic word, and the abuse continued. That was bad enough. But then he did something that almost broke me. He closed the lid on me, cutting out a great deal of the light. For some reason that I still don't fully understand, this triggered a primal fear in me, a desperate need to escape. Being held underwater, in the relative dark, trapped in a little porcelain box. I screamed no at the top of my lungs when my mouth was briefly above water. A shot of adrenaline surged through me, and I redoubled my efforts. But he was ready and just let me expend all of my energy uselessly while he held me firmly in place. I still didn't use my word. Then he said something, but I could only make out the very last word. Flush. That was it. That was my limit. The fear shot through me like a lightning bolt. I took a second to recall my word, my escape, but then the sound of thunder roared all around me and the water rose to envelop most of my head. I will never admit this to him, but I said it. I said the word. I screamed it out underwater, but he never heard it. His pace was quickening now. He was ass-fucking me even harder. He was close. Eventually, after what seemed like hours, but was only seconds, the water receded, and I was able to gasp for breath. I knew that as soon as I was able, I would say that word and end it. Then I felt him tense, groan, and then shoot his load in my ass. It was over. I'd just been raped, and I'd asked for it. Now, I know that it will never compare to the real thing, and I don't really, in my heart of hearts, want to ever go through that, but I think this was about as close as you can probably get. I did feel somewhat strange afterwards. A little numb, but he did his part to help wipe away that fantasy. We showered together, and he lovingly washed every inch of my body. And I must have made him use half a bottle of shampoo. The kitchen was a goddamn mess, though. We did try it again a few more times, but it was never as tense as the first one. I'm glad I tried it, though, and it did seem to tick that checkbox for me. My man was devious enough to use one of my other big fears to help accentuate the experience where, if you're being honest, not a lot of fear remains once you know what's going on. But my lesson is not to be afraid to try something new, so long as you trust your partner. Just do it responsibly, and at the end of the day, you may have learned something new about yourself.